change his appearance as soon as he arrived in the city. In fact, it would be the only sensible thing for him to do. And that's exactly what he did. The real Ryvich is out there now, somewhere in the city, but you'd need to take a tissue sample, or get him under a Mixmaster scanner before you'd know for sure. And even then you might not be certain. They can change everything, you know, given time. Even Ryvich's DNA might not betray him, given enough money. Zebra paused. Out of the corner of my eye I could see the man, still hovering at the fringe of the crowd gathered round the big fish. It was him, yes, or at least an extremely good facsimile. Zebra said, Ryvich knew his cover was good, but he still wanted to flush you out. That way he could sleep at night and, if he wished, revert to his old appearance and identity. So he persuaded someone to assume his shape. There was no persuasion involved. The man was more than willing. Someone with a death wish. She shook her head. No more than any other immortal in the canopy. His name is Voronov, I believe, although I don't know for sure, since I was never that close to Ryvich. You won't have heard of Voronov, but his name's fairly well known in canopy circles. He's one of the most extreme gamers, someone for whom the hunt was always going to be too tame. He's good, too, or else he wouldn't still be alive. You're wrong, I said. I have heard of Voronov. I told her about the man I had seen jumping into the mist in the chasm when Sibylline had taken me to the restaurant at the end of the stalk. That makes sense, she said. Voronov's into anything involving extreme personal risk, provided there's a large element of skill involved. Dangerous sports, anything which gives a genuine adrenaline kick and which forces him to confront the thin border between mortality and his own longevity. He would never stoop to hunting now. He just regarded it as an amusement, not a real game. Not because of its unfairness, but because there's no personal risk to the participants. Except for one participant, of course. You know what I mean. She was silent for a moment before continuing. People like Voronov are extremists. For them, the usual methods of controlling boredom just don't work anymore. It's like they developed a tolerance for it. They need something stronger. And putting himself in the firing line was just the ticket. It was controlled. Voronov had a network of spies and informers keeping track of you. When you first thought you'd seen him, he'd already seen you. She swallowed. The first time, he kept Methuselah between you and himself. It wasn't any accident. He was more in control than you ever realized. It was a mistake, though. He made it too easy. He made me wonder what was going on. Yes, Zebra said knowingly, but by then it was far too late to stop him. Voronov was out of our control. I looked into her faintly striped face, not needing to prompt her further. She said, Voronov liked his role too much. It suited him too well. For a long time he acted the way he was meant to, keeping a discreet distance, never letting you see him. The idea was that he would plant a trail of clues which would lead you to him, but in such a way that you thought you'd done all the work yourself. But he wanted more than that. More danger. Yes. She said it with deep finality. Laying down clues and waiting for you to follow them wasn't enough for Voronov. He started to make himself more prominent, placing himself at ever greater risk, but always maintaining an edge of control. That's why I said he's good. But Ryvich didn't like it for obvious reasons. Voronov was no longer serving him. He was serving himself, finding a new way to stave off the boredom. And I think it worked, being in that role. Not for me, it didn't. I stood up, almost upsetting the table as I did so, and one hand was already beginning the journey to my pocket. Tanner!